Looking to be a part of a dynamic company that provides exceptional service in the oil and gas industry? Then consider IPS. Integrated Production Services is a leading provider of production enhancement services for oil and gas producers. At IPS, we are currently seeking energetic and team-oriented individuals with a successful track record in the oil and gas field. Here at IPS, we are committed to building a better tomorrow and for future generations through our reputation of hiring the best professionals and industry leaders to serve our clients better. IPS is offering entry-level positions, plus also seeking knowledgeable professionals with experience in logging and perforating, coil tubing and frac stimulation. Consider IPS for your future today. Send your resume to IPS, 2269 North Mash Branch Road, Suite Number 1, Denton, Texas, 76207, or give them a call at 940-484-4481. That's 940-484-4481. Or check us out online at ipsadvantage.com.
His goal,
100 yards rushing.
Our goal, to keep him in bounds.
Headed to the sidelines. Can he stay in bounds?
While he covers the play, we cover his heart with the Word of God. Because with the Bible as his playbook,
touchdown,
he is certain to keep in bounds. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. To learn more, contact us at fca.org. That's fca.org.
Elissa Walker-Camel is on the air, asking the questions you want to know, with the biggest and best names in sports, like the All-American defensive tackle from Nebraska and NFL Carolina Panthers, Jason Peters.
I can tell you, when I went out and I decided to come back for my senior year, even leaving as a fifth-year senior, when I got to the NFL, you really realize how much you're not prepared.
The Big E Sports Show, Saturdays at 11 a.m., hosted by Elissa Walker-Camel.
Hi, I'm Dale Behan, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Western Company of Texas. You're in the oil and gas business. You know how important it is to transfer water efficiently and timely to your completion job. That's where the Western Company of Texas can step in and be your partner. We have earned the reputation here in the Barnett Shale as a premier water transfer company because of our dedication to quality and service. We have the largest inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit any and all of your water transfer needs. Plus, we can work with your team to secure water as well as rights of way. And finally, I can promise you that we will always be ready to go 24/7. So give us a call at 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434. We have locations in Cleveland, Fort Worth, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Give our dedicated water transfer team a call at 940-648-3434. The Western Company of Texas, the guys with the green pumps.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise, featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peters.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, it is time for our usual Under the Helmet segment on the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you are along with us for the ride for the next 60 minutes. Of course, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And our next guest, he's got a website too. It is fantastic. All kinds of great stuff on there. Good product. JasonPeter.com. And you know what? Usually we're talking college football, and I know it's March Madness, but we're not even going to be talking about that. We got to talk about front and center, the biggest headline, the NFL and Big Ben Roethlisberger. Naughty, naughty. Jason Peter, what do you think about Big Ben? And what is he thinking about clubbing in Georgia in some bar? I mean, I'm sure you've got some advice for him, don't you?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest shocks, seeing that he was partying it up with college kids. You hate to take away a guy's freedom and his right to go wherever he'd like to go and celebrate his birthday wherever he'd like to celebrate it, but I do think you have to be a little bit smarter than that, and you have to put yourself in a situation, I think, almost where you surround yourself with people who have just as much to lose as you do, because there's not one college kid in that bar that has as much at stake right now in present day than what Ben Roethlisberger has to lose. And you'd think with the situation that was already hovering over his head with the girl out at the casino in Lake Tahoe who's accused him of rape, I believe, you'd think that you'd just be a little bit smarter. And not to say that he's guilty or he's innocent. I think that will all play itself out. I just think you have to use better judgment, especially nowadays. I mean, it's so much different. Even from when I first went into the NFL, there weren't picture phones, there weren't camera phones. Every little thing that you did wasn't up on a blog 20 minutes later. It's a completely different world now, and I feel fortunate that I actually don't have to go through it. Because it would be miserable, I think, to live your life pretty much on eggshells.
Yes, the NFL, it has changed so much, even the landscape of it, over the past 10 years. And you were sharing with me, even prior to our show, that you had to go through a rookie symposium where they educate you on how to handle yourself. And I've always been curious about this. I mean, what do they really share with you guys on how to not put yourself in a precarious situation, and that there are women out there that, you know what, they're looking for a free ride?
Yeah, they bring all of the guys who were drafted. For us, it was, I believe it was out in Colorado somewhere. And they bring different speakers to the symposium, and they try to educate you on different things, from gambling to women to just conducting yourself in public, finances, stuff like that. And, you know, the truth is, when you're 21 years old and you got drafted, all you want to do is play football. And here you are, you're in this educational meeting. It seemed like 24 hours a day for a course of 3 days. And the only thing you're thinking about is getting out onto the football field. Now, there is a lot of interesting stuff that happens, but you bring together 300-plus guys and, got guys goofing around in the back row, and then your focus probably isn't where it really should be, and that's on the people that are trying to educate you. But these are some of the things that they tried to do even back then when I was a rookie, and they would bring in players that had alcohol problems. They'd bring players in that had been in trouble with the law and say, these are the mistakes that I made, and hopefully you can learn from them. I remember one of the guys that they brought in was a defensive lineman from USC who was a year or two in front of me. His name was Darrell Russell, and he was a great defensive lineman. The Oakland Raiders, I believe, drafted him either with the number one or number two pick, somewhere around there. And he was one of the guys that spoke, and sure enough, it was a few years later, he was killed in a I believe it was a drunk driving accident. So even when you have guys up there that are kind of trying to teach you a lesson, sometimes it's still a learning experience for those guys who still have to go and live every day with the same type of obstacles that we all have to live with. So you just hope that guys that are going through the process now, guys that are either going into the league or have just started in the league, can learn something from incidents like this with Roethlisberger.
And Jason, I don't know how old you were when you were a rookie in the league, but I would assume that most of these guys are around, you know, 22, 23 years old. And when you're with this group of guys and, you know, they're presenting, you know, the do's and don'ts and how to put yourself in a good position, what was kind of the vibe? I mean, did they take it serious? I mean, were guys really saying, you know, I want to do it right because you only get one shot?
Yeah, I think guys think like that, but actually following through on it, you know, I think that little voice in the back of your head, sometimes it's just not talking to you loud enough. And I think most guys want to do right. It's just that sometimes the dark evil side, I think, kind of, it just drags people in, and they think, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. I'll be careful enough not to let something like this happen. And the truth is, it you don't have to be doing everything right. You could just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But when you're an NFL player and you're the star and you're the biggest name in that place, it's going to get brought out. It's going to be in the media. You're going to get ridiculed for it. And the truth is, in today's world, you don't have to be guilty. You just have to have your name brought up with a situation, and people just kind of assume that you're guilty. I mean, the corrections that are made 4 or 5 months, a year down the line when the entire case plays itself out, there's never a huge story at the end that says, now let's make sure that we go back and everything that we've been told about this player, this athlete, this celebrity that we thought maybe he did on this one particular night, we need to now go back and erase that from our mind because he didn't do it. And then, you know, it's hard. I mean, lots of times somebody is just looking for an easy paycheck, and not to say that this is the case with Roethlisberger, but, you know, there are people out there that see some of these athletes, these celebrities, as an opportunity to make a little money of their own.
So let's step back for a moment and get back on talking about the situation with Ben Roethlisberger. If hypothetically, you know, he is innocent, I mean, will he come out of this unscathed? I mean, will there be sanctions from the NFL? How does he rehab his image? I had a lot of questions thrown at you there, Jay.
Yeah, it's tough. I do think something will. I mean, I don't know how fast this thing can play itself out. You still have the case from 2008 that's still hanging over his head, but I imagine the commissioner is going to have to do something in terms of a suspension. But as far as clearing his name, I don't know if you ever clear your name from these sorts of things. I mean, that's why you have to be so careful about the situations that you put yourself in, because, like I said before, whether or not you're a guilty party or you're an innocent party, just the fact that your name is being brought up with it, it tarnishes, I think, your name. And, you know, there's not always, like I said, there's not always the same media coverage when it turns out that you were innocent. So I do think that you have to take a very proactive approach. You know, you just have to plan ahead, and you gotta, when you walk into a bar or a club or a restaurant, I think you have to ask yourself, is this a situation? Am I going to be able to get through this night without any incidents? Or is it seem like there is a possibility of something happening? Because if there's a possibility of something happening, I think you just got to turn yourself around and walk straight out that door, because you're not going to get another chance to sign a $100 million contract or whatever these guys have. I mean, part of that is image. I mean, some of these guys that are making, you know, that sort of money, I mean, Peyton Manning, yeah, he can throw the ball over the field, but a large part of why it's so easy for these, you know, whether it's Indianapolis or Gatorade or Nike or whoever it is, to give him money is because he's got this nice, squeaky clean image, the same thing that Tiger Woods had prior to a month ago.
Talking the NFL with Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. Again, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We also want to give a special thank you to our premier corporate sponsor and partner, the good friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. Okay, Jason P., you're one of the smartest guys I know. So tell me, what does your gut say in terms of Roethlisberger? He's admitting that he had consensual contact with his accuser, but it's not looking good for him because his 20-year-old, apparently she was hysterical. She said that she slipped and hit her head after the two had contact, an alleged assault. What does your gut tell you?
Oh, it's hard to say that I think this happened or this didn't happen. I just know he's guilty of bad choices, of putting himself in a bad environment. You know, I think the legal process will play itself out. I don't know if this thing will ever go to court. You know, right now it's basically a he said, she said sort of thing. I mean, I'm hearing stuff about bathrooms where maybe the incident took place. I mean, look, if you find somebody attractive, if you get along with somebody, I mean, say goodnight to everybody, pack up and go somewhere else. But the bathroom, that might not be the best place when you're surrounded by college students as well. And you know, the truth is, even if he had went somewhere else, the same thing could have happened. You know, you're eventually left alone with somebody. And I think you have to be able to trust that person, because whether it took place at his house or it took place in the bathroom, I'm not saying the bathroom's a great place to further a relationship, but you know, you do still have to have a certain amount of trust, and I think you do have to be smarter as to who you spend time with, and I think you have to go into every situation saying, yeah, it might be fun right now, or it might be fun for, you know, the next few hours of the night, but what happens when we both go our separate ways? Is this going to be a girl that sees me as an opportunity for her to make a little money? So, I mean, for me, like I said, I am very happy that I don't have to go through this, because it is a different world out there today. It truly is, with the craze that the media, I think, provides with, you know, these sports figures and the celebrities. I mean, it's crazy. There are magazines dedicated to these celebrities, and that was something that we never really had to deal with. I mean, you were known within your town. You were known when you walked into a bar, but, you know, there weren't five or six cameras on you as you walked to your table in the back of the nightclub, and that's a scary thing.
Let's shift avenues. You mentioned Tiger Woods. Of course, the New York Post is reporting that potentially he could be returning here in a couple of weeks, playing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational starting March 25th. Your thoughts on that, Jay?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think the more that you keep yourself hidden, I think the more people just have an opportunity to continue to run with the stories that have been out there, and they're just looking for something else to talk about. And I think for Tiger, the best thing that he could get people talking about is his golf. And I think that's going to be the thing that probably kickstarts maybe the recovery for him. I know he's gone and he spent time in the sex rehab and this and that, but you know, the truth is, I don't know if there's a lot of people that believe in that whole sort of thing. I know a lot of people, when they talk about the sex rehab, they think, oh, it's just an excuse. I mean, you've heard some other celebrities that have been caught with other women or vice versa, and the thing that they do is they go check themselves into a sex rehab, and they say, this is the reason why I did it, and it's not because I'm a bad person. It's not because I don't love my partner. It's because I have this problem. And I think for Tiger, I think the thing that can really help him and get people talking about something else, because, like I've said before, I think this country especially, we love the man or the woman, the athlete, the entertainer who was down and battles back to be a successful story. And I think Tiger has that opportunity to do that. We love to give second and third and even fourth chances in this country, and for Tiger, it's really his first chance, and you know, I really think he can come out shining in this whole thing. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen in a year or 2 years, but he's still a young man. I mean, he's got a lot of life left to live, and you know, he can impact a lot of people with the situation that he's in.
Well, I thought, you know, his press conference where he had his admission, we thought that was huge. Can we only imagine what his return will be like as far as when he does step into the tee box?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how people respond to him. I mean, this is a guy who, you didn't find many people out there that criticized. I mean, occasionally the way that he'd lash out at a photographer that took a picture or a fan or somebody. But for the most part, I mean, this is a guy who has changed the way that people feel about golf. I mean, this was a sport that was played by, let's just say, the not-so-popular kids growing up. I mean, it wasn't looked at the same way as a football team or a football player. I mean, golf was not really the cool thing to do. And when Tiger got into it, when Tiger made it popular, when Nike jumped on with Tiger and all the cool commercials and the endorsements and this and that, golf became cool. And that was solely because of one guy. I mean, there were great golfers that came before him. I mean, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. And, I mean, you could go on and on, Ben Hogan. But none of them made it cool the way that Tiger did. So he is he's in a unique situation, and this is a guy that is crucial to the game. It's crucial for television contracts when it has to do with golf, because everybody wants a piece of him. Everybody wants a piece of golf when Tiger's playing, and if he's not playing, we've all seen the ratings in a tournament that doesn't have Tiger playing in it. It's just not as good.
One of the things that I said, too, on a sports talk show earlier this week is that you have to wonder, too, when he does get his groove back, gets back into rhythm and sync and out there on the golf course, would you think he'll go after some of the sponsors that have dropped him, whether it's Gatorade or et cetera, he'll go after their biggest competitors?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how fast people will jump back on with throwing him or throwing lots of money in his face. I mean, I think a guy that was in a similar situation was probably Kobe Bryant a few years ago. I mean, he was a guy that had a lot of endorsements, and when he had to go through that whole thing with out in Colorado and the cheating on the wife, and he held a press conference as well, and he professed his love to his wife and gave her a big diamond ring or big pair of diamond earrings, whatever it was. And everything was okay, but as far as him and his endorsements, he really hasn't been a guy that is all over the place the way that he used to be. I mean, this was a guy who made a lot of money with endorsements, and I know he's back in it. I think Nike is still a product that endorses Kobe, but I don't know if people are as crazy to get back in bed with him, so to speak. That may be the wrong phrase to use with Kobe, but I don't know how quick people will want a piece of Tiger. I guess it all depends on how well he does. If he comes out and he wins his first 10 tournaments and everything is forgotten, then yeah, I imagine that there will be people that want a piece of him, because like I said, they all want a winner, and they really do love a guy that has had to overcome an obstacle. And with Tiger, this is an obstacle that you can almost, I don't know if you can compare it to anybody. I mean, he's probably the most famous athlete in the world, and it's hard to say the same things that apply to Kobe Bryant or the same things that apply to whomever can apply to Tiger, because I don't know if anybody's been in his shoes before with the popularity of one certain individual.
He's a three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. We are talking with our favorite Husker. That would be Jason Peter. It is our usual Under the Helmet segment, doing a great job just kind of bouncing around. Let's talk some college football. And unfortunately for Oregon, things just seem to be going, you know, they finished the season on such a high note. But Jeremiah Masoli, what is he thinking about facing a burglary charge?
Yeah, I don't know. Two computers and a guitar from the frat house.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, this is why we never really hung out at the frat houses. I think frat boys stay with their frat boys, and athletes kind of just stay with their athlete friends. But they tried to mingle. I don't know what, you know, this isn't the only problem. But, you know, I hate to point the finger and say that Chip Kelly or Bellotti or whoever out there in Oregon isn't doing a good job of teaching these kids the difference between right and wrong, because the truth is, when you bring 120, 130 plus kids from all different walks of life, from all different parts of the country, from different upbringings, from different social backgrounds, different skin color, everything you could imagine, you bring them all together on one campus, you can't expect all of them to be squeaky clean. And I'm not giving them an okay to go out and cause mischief or get into trouble. I'm just saying it's going to happen. If you took a handful of 120 kids in college who were non-athletes, I'm sure there's going to be a few of them that over their 4 years or 5 years at the university, there's going to be a couple of them that get into trouble. For Masoli, he's the quarterback of the University of Oregon, and that's the reason why it's on the front page of every sporting website, and everybody's talking about it. It was a bad decision on his part. If it turns out that he's guilty of this, and I know he was joined by a company of another former Duck wide receiver, but these things are going to happen for him. You just hope that, and it seems like Chip Kelly, with what he did with LeGarrette Blount, he makes sure that these guys aren't just thrown out to the cold, that they're still kind of part of that family. Because when you do, you ask these kids to leave their home state or to leave their hometown and come out and be part of a different family, it's nice to see head coaches that the first time trouble arises, that they just don't say, "We'll see you later, pack your bags, goodbye, you're of no use to us anymore." I like the coaches that say, "You're in trouble, and you're not going to be able to play, but we want you still in the family, and we want to make sure that you get your life back on track." Because the truth is, not all of them are going to be able to go and sign a $60 million contract out of to go into the NFL. Most of them are going to go, and they're going to have to look for 9-to-5 jobs, and that's going to be difficult in its own right. So I think the thing that is nice to see is head coaches that say, "Yeah, he messed up, but I still want to try to make a good human being out of this person. I still want to see him succeed in life." And it seems like Chip Kelly, at least from what we saw out of the LeGarrette Blount situation, that's something that he tries to do.
It's interesting the angle that you come from, Jason Peter, on that, because then I have to ask you, and we kind of dial it back just a bit, so you didn't agree necessarily with head coach Bob Stoops when he let Rhett Bomar go.
Yeah, that was, something where I don't know if everything was out in the open. If that was simply just one isolated incident. But I never like to see a coach, I guess, kind of kick a player to the curb. There was a player here at Nebraska just a couple of years ago. His name I don't even know if I should mention his name, but he was a Texas kid, and he had gotten into some trouble, and he was still a high school senior, but he had signed his letter of intent, and he was set to come out here and play for Nebraska, and he had gotten in some trouble a month or 2 months before he was supposed to come out and report for camp as a freshman. And there were a lot of people out here saying, "That's it, forget him, don't let him come, we don't need this sort of trouble, this isn't what we're about." And I said, "No, I said, I'm sorry. I said, this is a kid where you went into his living room and you persuaded the parents, you told them Nebraska's the best place for you, Nebraska's the place where, yeah, you're going to have an opportunity to achieve everything you want in athletics, but this is a place where you're going to come and we're going to show you how to be a good human being, a decent human being, a good man, someone that your parents can be proud of." And then at the first sign of trouble, what we're here saying, "That's it, we're cutting ties, now see you later, go figure out whatever you're going to do." Obviously, some kids are bad seeds, and when it happens over and over and over and over again, I understand at some point maybe you got to say, his actions and being around some of the other guys on the team, it can be almost cancerous-like, and it can spread. But if it's a kid where it's an isolated incident and you think that the kid's still a good person at heart, I do like to see some of these coaches keep these guys around, because you made a commitment to them. You tried to, you went and you sold the university to this kid. He made the decision to come here. And I think you also got to make sure that these coaches understand this is part of the deal too. You got to make sure that not only is the kid a stud out on the football field, but you got to make sure that he's a good person as well. So it's not just as easy as for these coaches to turn on the DVD and say, "Wow, let's have this kid play here. Let's have this kid put on the red and white or whatever color your school is." I think coaches have to go more in depth and make sure this is the type of person that we want on this campus.
Okay, Jason, we only have time for one more question. Tell us about, you had a little bit of an update on Tim Tebow. How did he do on the Wunderlich?
Well, there's been some criticism, only a 22 out of 50.
Uh-oh.
And that, I guess, is the telltale sign of what type of quarterback he'll be in the NFL. Now, there have been quarterbacks that have scored lower on it and have gone on to have great careers. You know, I think Jim Kelly was a guy who had sub 20, maybe even Elway, or there have been just multiple quarterbacks that haven't scored 40 or 45. I don't buy it. If a kid can play football, he can play football. Certainly you'd like to see your quarterback. I think people have this image that they need to be smart and they need to be the smartest guy in the field. And I'm not sure if that's the truth. So I don't think people should read too much into Tebow getting a 22. It's not like he got a 4 or a 5. He still probably did better than half the defensive linemen that took the test.
Jason Peter, we are flat out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. And actually, you'll get the week off next week because it is spring break here in the great state of Texas. We'll be replaying some interviews, and we will catch up with you the week after next.
All right. Take care, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. We'll be right back with much more of the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight.
Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.